Okay, so we're starting working in a combat zone, and so I'm going to subtitle this. If you want a want a title for this, you can subtitle it, Why Am I at Work? Have you ever thought that in your life? Why in God's name am I working at this place? Well, this is the deal. One, not only are you supposed to have a job. So let me say this, single ladies. How many single ladies are in this place? Raise your hand. All the brothers better pay attention. All right. So all the single ladies, let me tell you something. If they don't have a job, run. Run. You know, I've had somebody, I had a young lady say, you know, I love him. I'm taking care of him right now. And I'm like, run, girl, run. If you're taking care of him, get out. I had a dude tell me one thing. Well, Adam didn't have a job before the fall. I'm like, did you read the Bible? Yes, he did. God commanded him before the fall, before they ever got kicked out. He said, tend to the garden. It wasn't like gardening like we know today. There was less problems because we were more in a perfect world at that moment. But Adam had to work. He had a job before he ever had Eve. That's good preaching. And so if they don't have a job, you run, run, run. So since the beginning of time, man has had a job, has had something to do, has had a purpose in their life. And so you should be working. All right, I'm glad. I'm glad y'all agree with me. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week we talked about the job from hell. You may have felt like you've had the job from hell. And if you feel like that this morning, you wouldn't hear the last 2 weeks, go to the podcast online and you can listen to it there. But this week we're going to talk about why we have a job and how we should be working. Do you know the Bible has a lot to say about how you should work on your job? It has a lot to say. If you say, I've never read that, you've never paid attention. God speaks a lot about working. So 1 Peter chapter 2, you might feel like this morning that you're working, maybe you're not working for the devil, but you're working for his brother or sister. Have you heard the joke about when the devil came into the church? Devil walked into a church, in some small church, and as he was going down the aisle, strutting his stuff to the front, everybody was running out just as soon as they saw him running out of the church. And he got down all the way to the pew, and this old man looked at him and just turned back, and the preacher even ran. And so the only person left was this old man. And he walked over and sat down by the old man. He said, old man, he said, why didn't you run when you seen me? He said, devil, I ain't scared of you. I've been married to your sister for 45 years. That's terrible. I can't believe you would laugh at something like that. You should feel ashamed. So 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 18. Verse 18, it says, servants, or you could put it like this. Some translation says, employees, be subject unto your masters, or you could put it this way, of your bosses with all fear. Now, the word is not to be afraid of your, you know, like we think of fear. It's not to be like, oh, I'm so scared. They're going to hurt me. Or, oh, I'm scared. It's not about being scared. The word fear, when you look it up in the Hebrew or the Greek, when it talks about the fear of God, I've always hated how churches preach the fear of God. You better have the fear of God. And they teach it like God can kill you at any moment. You should fear that. Well, if you died and you go to heaven, what is there to fear to begin with? Because the Lord's going to keep it quick. He's not going to like cut things off and let you, you know, suffer. Like start with fingers and then move his way up. You do know. That's the problem, is the church acts like you never know. But you can know. You don't have to wonder, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We have an entire book of what would Jesus do. 66 books in the Bible telling us what the Lord would do.
Amen.
And never did he start by chopping people's hands off and torturing them just for, you know, the wonderful purpose. A lot of churches will teach that God is in heaven like the little boy with a magnifying glass over the ants. Isn't this fun? That is not the Lord we serve. He doesn't do things like that. And so fear means to reverence or honor. It means to reverence the person. And you know, I honor my mother. I love my mother with all my heart. And the worst fear I ever have of my mama is displeasing her.
Amen.
That's the worst fear I have of my mother. Now, when I was younger, there were some other fears. Because I don't know what you believe about spanking, but she believed in it. All right, anyway, let's continue. And it says, not only to the good and gentle. In other words, your bosses are good and gentle. Honor and respect them. But God says, not only to the good and gentle, but he says, to the forward. What does the word forward here mean? It means basically one of the direct translations is crooked, mean, a jerk. It says, so not only honoring the good bosses, it's easy to honor good bosses. Where's Annette? I didn't hear an amen, Annette. She works for the church, if you're wondering. Because I told her, I'm here like, when I'm talking about bosses from hell, don't you raise your hand and don't you say amen. And so that was an opportunity. You could have got a bonus right there. We'll give you another opportunity before it's over. So not only to the good, it's easy to be good to the good bosses. It's easy to honor the good bosses. But God says also the crooked, the mean, those that are jerks, be honor the boss that is above you. Do you know that even goes for our politicians? We honor politicians whether we voted for them or not. Right. And the Bible says in Timothy to pray for those that are above you. Right. Pray for your president. Pray for your governor. Pray for your senator. I don't like them. Well, that's even more reason to pray. Well, they're doing horrible things. Hello. Another reason to pray even more for them. And not old time prayer. Mm-mm, we have grown up, y'all. The church has grown up. We don't pray, Lord, shake them. Get them, Jesus. That's not what we're praying. We're praying, Father, may they be rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend. We pray Bible. May be able to comprehend with all saints. What's the breadth, the length, the height, the full comprehension. May they be rooted and grounded in love. Comprehend with all saints. What's the depth, the height, and full understanding. Also, we go on to say that they would be able to see. Their eyes would be open. Their hearts would be alert. That they would be able to see with all saints, that they would be, I'm trying to think of getting to the point. Now, they are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us. So we're praying that Jesus will get a hold of them if they ain't already there. And if they are there, that they would mature in their Christianity and understand how God would expect them to run their office. And so your boss is above you and our prayers should be for them. And they may be godless. Well, we're praying that they will be godful. And let me tell you something else. God has used evil kings to get his purpose and his point and his works across. So don't tell me God can't use evil people. He can. He has used evil kings in the past. He will use them today. Whether you believe the president is saved or unsaved, God can use them. Whether you believe Putin knows the Lord or doesn't know the Lord, God can still intervene and use him. And so that's one of the reasons the church must pray. I'm going to tell you something. I don't blame the world for bad things going on in the world. I blame the church, because if the church was on the post, if we were watching and praying, things could change. If we had 100% anticipation of all the churches together praying the will of God for this world, we would see a different world. So we should pray. So we are good to the good bosses and we're good to the bad bosses. We don't get into gossip. Oh, what? We don't go to the water cooler and talk bad with the other employees about them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now let's keep reading verse 20. Oh, well, let's read verse 19. Sorry. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endureth grief, suffering, and wrongdoing. For what glory is it if ye be buffeted to your faults? In other words, if you mess up, then of course your boss is going to talk with you. But if you take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it. In other words, if you're being persecuted just because of the way you are and what you believe about the Lord, if they don't like you because you don't join in or you don't go drinking with the rest of them and get drunk as Cooter Brown and swing from the rafters like all the rest of them do on a weekend, and your boss don't like you because you're not one of the crew and you're suffering for that reason, God says, take it. But understand that God is, because this is acceptable to the Lord. Take it with patience. Now, let me say this. I've had someone ask me, well, am I supposed to stay at a dead-end job? No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you be led by the Lord. And one, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you line another job up before you leave your job.
Right.
Don't, oh my gosh. I am so amazed at people who are living paycheck to paycheck and will leave their job and nothing lined up. because you did so well on your paycheck for the last month. So let's go a month without a paycheck. That's, yeah. All right, let's just, we can all understand that that's the way we're smart about finances. We're smart about money. So anyway, we need to believe God not to have to live from paycheck to paycheck.
That's right.
All right. And so we're good to our bosses. We honor our bosses. And so I'm not saying you're stuck at a job. God, if God brought you there, then you stay until he tells you to leave.
Amen.
You stay until he tells you to leave. But God will open doors. And if your boss is asking you to do something illegal, your boss of bosses is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't break the law. You don't break your moral code. If your boss is putting advances toward you, and you get your butt out of there. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You get out of there quickly. All right? All right. And so we're going to ask a couple things this morning. I want to talk about being good employees. I want to talk about what God expects out of us. And so one, I want to ask you a question. Are you a waster? A waster. Wasting. Waste. W-A-S-T-E-R. A waster. Do you waste time? You might say, I don't steal for my job. I know a lot of Christians say, I don't steal. I don't steal. Well, you know, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do on the job, then you are stealing. Be like, I've never taken a pen from my workplace. Yeah, but have you taken time from your workplace? That's what they pay you for.
Wow.
I'm going to moonwalk right out of this place.
That's awesome.
Y'all's face, I'm going to put mirrors across the front so y'all can look at me. So it's either amen or oh me. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We got a lot of scriptures to go through this morning. You may be asking, I'm not stealing. Well, if you're stealing time, you're stealing from your workplace. Ephesians 6 and verse 5 says, servants, employees, you know, in other words, be obedient to them that are your masters or your bosses, which are according to the flesh. Underline that. If you highlight it, what you got electronic Bibles, highlight that. Underline that. If it's paper, make a note on that. It's saying your bosses according to the what? The flesh. In other words, bosses you work for naturally. You have a job. This is what it's talking to. And understanding that God is the boss of bosses. Jesus is our boss of bosses. He's our Lord of lords. He's the boss of bosses. And so when the Lord conflicts with your boss, you go with the... Oh, that was a multiple choice question and you got it right. Good job. You go with the Lord. And so it says, with fear and trembling. Now, we know what fear and trembling mean. That means to honor them and of your heart. Well, let's go to verse 6. And not with eye service. Do you know what eye service means? The boss is coming. Everybody look busy. Clean stuff. The world operates that way. The world operates that way. I used to work at a bank in Florida. And I was a teller, and I had a lot of different branches that I would travel to. I was the one that went to any branch they needed me to go to. I was at the bottom of the totem pole, so I had to go wherever they told me to go. And so I traveled to all the branches throughout the towns and throughout the county. And I got to experience a lot of different leadership. And there was some leadership that I worked for that it was crazy. It was absolute crazy. And when we got word, because all the branches, oh my goodness, all the branches, there were people, there were narcs in the at the main branch. And if the president ever walked out the door, if they knew where they were going, they called the branch. Hey, look, president's out the door. Be ready. He's coming to your branch. And then everybody, so I worked for one. Get up, clean everything. And then this was so crazy. They're like, the plant, wipe every leaf off. Do this, do that. And so we're all running around vacuuming, getting everything ready because the president of the bank is coming to our branch. And then I worked for one in Carabelle. That's a town in Florida. Carabelle, Florida. I worked there. And the branch manager, I really enjoyed working for him. He was kind of not a great person, really. Really wasn't a great person. But when it came to business, he was awesome. I loved him in business because he said, we live every day at this branch like the president is coming. He said, we live every day. So every day, this is crazy, they had a special spray for plants to make the leaves shine. Do you know that? I did not know that. And he's like, you're going to wipe down, again, into the totem pole. You're going to wipe down every plant leaf. Every day. Because there's, you know, in banks, there's a period of time that normally not too many people come. And he's like, if you don't have something to do, you find something to do. And he's like, if it's not your job, you tell me that, walk out the door. And you leave right now, you're fired. He's like, because it is your job Everything in this branch is your job. Emptying the trash is your job. Cleaning the toilet is your job. They have somebody to come in to do that, but if you have time, you're cleaning them. And that was the mentality. And I honestly enjoyed it because we worked at a moment when the president come, it never took us off guard. Never took us off guard because we were always ready. And he had the mentality, we will be the best branch in all the banks. We will run at a greater level than any other bank. And you know what? They did. They ran at a better level than any bank in the entire branch. And it was because of the mentality. Because we didn't work there as eye service. We didn't work when the boss was around and then took a break every time. And he was a great boss. He was a good boss. Person-wise, not so much, but bank-wise, he was great. I enjoyed working for him. And so that's what the Lord is saying, is that is the mentality of a Christian. That is the mentality that when we go to work, we're not working just because the boss is around. We're working because that is what the Lord has commanded us to do. That's what you're paid to do, and you do it well, doing the will of God from the heart. So the Bible tells us in the Word that we work not as unto man, but as unto the Lord. So even when we have a job that our boss, you know, of the flesh, as the Bible puts it, or a worldly job, the Bible says, don't go to your job thinking that you're working for your boss. You're actually working for me. Amen. Think, if you want to think of it this way, think that you're a spy for the Lord. You've infiltrated a business and you are a spy for the Lord. You are in there working and your true boss is God. And then people will see that you work differently. And if you actually work the way God told you to work, you can't help but to be promoted. Other people will be fired because they do eye service. And eye service gets noticed. In time, eye service gets noticed. And let's say you got passed over for a job because you did someone else's work. And the boss, maybe you don't go drinking with them. I don't know what it is. Maybe you don't go partying with the boss. And you got passed over for a job. Well, God is the promoter. Amen. And God says, if evil is done to you, I will make it right.
That's right.
And so the Lord will make it right. So sometimes it looks like God ain't going to make it right. But in the end, God will make it right. If God hasn't made it right, you know what it means? It isn't over. It's not done. God will make it right. I know this is not a lot of amens, but you can just try to help me out a little more if you want to.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Now, what God does expect of you on the job, he expects you to be mature, to display Christianity to those who are around you. Why has God placed you there? You are to show the light. Do you know what the Bible, what does the Bible call Christians? The salt of the earth, the light of the world. Do you know what salt does to food? It preserves, it flavors, it does a lot of stuff. I like all that. Those are all great answers. Also, you know what, when you eat salt, or how about this, when you have a sore throat, anybody ever heard of gargling salt water? Why? Because it heals. It heals, it preserves, it saves. So get this now. I've heard people say, well, and this has actually been tried in the history and even really close to us. Anybody ever heard of Zion, Illinois?
Yeah.
Do you know the foundation of Zion, Illinois? Why it was built, why it was founded? It was founded as an old Christian town. You couldn't move in unless you were saved. Proclaim Jesus as Lord. And you know what happened? It failed. It absolutely failed. God never said, what I want you to do, separate yourself from the entire world. Don't talk to them because they are bad. I mean, did you hear what they said they did last week at the job? Oh, stay away from them. That's not what the Lord said to do. He didn't say build a town, all of you move in, and keep the world out. You know, he didn't say, now make sure you don't watch HBO. Make sure you don't watch Cinemax. Make sure you don't watch TV. Don't go to a theater either. Oh, we would be in trouble, right? He didn't say any of those things. Now, we are to watch appropriate programming, absolutely. But what my statement is, we're not to cut ourselves off from the world.
That's right.
If you get a huge slab of beef, you know, before we had refrigerators, right? If you get a slab of beef and you put salt on only one little corner of it, the rest of it rots. Salt's got to be all over it. It's got to be all over it. So salt needs to be in the workplace. I've had people tell me, I'm the only one that's saved. They make fun of me all the time. Glory to God for the opportunity that you have. You're the only one. Do you know we have record of jobs in the Old Testament that bosses were blessed and their businesses were saved because someone who had the favor of God on them worked in the job. You may be the saving grace that they're looking for. They may not even know they're looking for saving grace. They may not even know they need it, but you're there. And because you're there, I believe God will save whole businesses simply because his people are working in it. I believe that. I believe God will bring protection over business just because you're there. I truly believe that because God says, wherever you are, I am with you. But maybe you're to be a shining light. Now, let's get this very clear. I had a Christian tell me one time, I got fired for witnessing at my job. I got fired for telling someone about Jesus. And my response is probably not exactly what you would expect most pastors to be. I looked right at him and said, you deserve to be fired. I said, you absolutely deserve to be fired. And they were shocked and stunned. Because, and let me tell you the whole story. They told me, they said, I was working beside them and I was telling them about the Lord. Well, they didn't hire you to tell some people about the Lord. They didn't hire you. Unless you have heard from God to share the gospel while you are absolutely on time, on hours, then you are not to do that. That's not what they hired you for. Now, let me say this. You have breaks. That's your time. Do whatever you want on your time. You feel led to witness to somebody on your time. You want to talk to somebody about Jesus? Do it on your time. Do it on your lunch break. Do it on your breaks. If they give you 15-minute breaks, whatever it is, come early before you clock in. You want to talk to somebody about Jesus? You want to stay late and tell somebody about Jesus? That's your time to do so. But if you are on the clock, that is not what you're hired for. That is not what you're hired for. When's the last time you heard that in a church?
Yeah.
So, and I want to say this too. Ephesians and Colossians tell us that we should put off the old man and we should put on the new. And so if you're looking at life through the flesh, you're going to look at it through the wrong way. If you're looking at your business or your job through the flesh, you're going to look at it the wrong way. So we've got to put on Jesus just like we would clothing. Sometimes you got to, and ladies and some of the guys, how long does it take you to get dressed? How long does it take you to pick out an outfit sometimes? Help me, Jesus. I don't want to say. Sometimes you got to put on the Lord and it might take you some time. It has taken me some time to put on the Lord sometimes. I'll give you an instance. Sometimes I'm upset about something. Sometimes I get mad about something. And I got to look on it through the glasses of the Lord and not the glasses of T.L. Sadler. And so sometimes I got to put on, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I got to put that stuff on. That don't come naturally. Sometimes I'm dealing with stuff like you look at the closet and be like, what do I have to wear? I'm always amazed at that. If you ever travel to third world countries, it's like, what do I have to wear? Oh, this. That's all I have. And so they put that on. We stand in a closet that is packed full. I have nothing to wear. Dear Lord. Mm-mm-mm. That's last season. That was like 10 minutes ago. I can't wear that today. And so, they're going through all this stuff. Sometimes my wife asks me this question. She will say, didn't you wear that last Sunday? I'm like, I don't know. I do not take note of what I wore yesterday. I can barely remember what I did wear yesterday, let alone what I'm wearing today. But when we're putting on the Lord, we need to look at our life and there will be things that we have to put on. Maybe we're facing some hard times and we don't have, it looks like ends won't meet. Well, God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you don't leave the closet putting things on until you're satisfied knowing that the answer is on its way. Amen. Might not have manifested in your eyes, but God died 2,000 years ago and he settled it right then. And so his answer is there for you. And don't think, we can't put God in a box and think he's only going to work in one way. He works in a lots of ways. And so we're not going, if it doesn't come the way we expect it to, we still know God is going to bring it. And so, I've heard people say, you got to confess. Confessing is not what brings things into your life. Now, it will help keep you on the right track when you're confessing the word of God. But the reason we confess is because we're speaking what we believe. And I'm going to tell you something. You can confess to your blue in the face the word of God. And if you don't believe it, eventually what you do believe will come out of your mouth. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. And so you think you're doomed, that you're gloomed, and you're never going to make it. Eventually, that's what's coming out of your mouth. We're not speaking to try to make something happen. We're speaking what we believe. Paul says, I forsake not the confession of my faith. Amen. King James says the profession. Any other translation says the confession of my faith. I don't stop speaking what it is I believe. You're not speaking it to try to get yourself to believe it. You're speaking it because you do believe it. You're speaking because you believe the word of God is the final. And I'm not saying that your head's not going to go tilt and say, look, you're in a horrible situation. Well, that may be the truth, but the truth of the matter is God's word never changes. It always brings victory. So we confess the word. We confess the word. We put on the word of God. I want to say this. Don't expect joy from your job. Don't expect joy from your job. If you got a job that you love and enjoy, that is wonderful. Wonderful. I have a job that I love. I enjoy my job. Now, I don't enjoy it every day. I don't enjoy it every day. I get phone calls that I don't enjoy. I get emails I don't enjoy. Oh, goodness, let's not even go there. I'm not going to get long-winded on this subject. But there's times that I don't enjoy my job. And there's times I've quit. Now, I only quit for about 5 to 10 minutes, but I quit. I have called my mom on my way home from work. And I said, I quit. And she said, all right, as long as you clock in the morning. And I did. I did clock in the morning. But I know by purpose that I'm supposed to be here. There are days I want to quit. There's days that it's not so fun. There's days that I get emails. And can I say this? It's been a long time since I've had anybody in church, you know, try to bust my bubble. So I appreciate that. Thank you. I really appreciate that. The majority of my emails come from people who listen by podcast. So if you're listening, stop emailing me. Because you'll find when we get to heaven, I was right and you were wrong. But in Philippians, let me say this. In Philippians, it tells us that I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Yes. Can I tell you, contentment does not come from your situation. I have confused this scripture when I was young. I thought no matter how bad life is, I should just be happy. Just be happy. Life sucks. I'm just got to be happy. Just got to be happy. Do you know where the happiness comes from? When life is horrible, do you know where happiness comes from? One, it comes that we know when we go to heaven, we're going to heaven. We're not going to hell. Joy comes out of salvation. That's wonderful. But not only does it come out of salvation, we also understand that God does not leave us where he found us. If we are in a horrible mess today, God has a way out. And the Bible says God will not tempt or test me more than I can handle, and that he has a way of escape. So no matter how bad the situation is, there is a way of escape. There is not, God will not allow more pressure to push down on you than you can handle. And the good news is, if God's on the inside of you, there's someone pushing back. Amen. And he will push it off. Amen? So we continue to do what we know naturally, and we continue to do what we know spiritually. Amen. So I want you to repeat this after me. God wants me to, excuse me, God wants to strengthen me, in trouble. I'm going to tell you something, not from trouble, but in trouble. A lot of Christians will pray, oh, God, I don't want to ever have to face trouble again. Well, guess what? Neither does the world. The world doesn't want to have to. You know, the Ukraine right now is in a lot of trouble. And they don't want to be facing it. There's a lot of trouble going on around the world. Indonesia, the church is persecuted like no other country in the world. And they're facing a lot of trouble. Our trouble doesn't seem so bad if we compare it to the rest of our brothers and sisters in the world. But even in our trouble, God wants to strengthen us in it. The Bible says it rains upon the just and the unjust alike. Mm-hmm. Why did you have to face that? I have no idea. Honestly, I have no idea. I had someone ask me, why do you think Ellie broke her leg? Oh, that's so sad. Was there sin in the house? Should you have prayed more? I'm like, no. She's a 2-year-old that pulled on her mama's jacket. That's why her leg was broke. That's why. Had nothing to do with an evil spirit that got into my home. Pastor must be sinning. I guess I must. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, someone said gravity. That is a law that is in place, isn't it?
That's the truth.
And so in all of this, we don't beat ourselves up because we are in trouble looking for the reason why we are in it. But what we do understand, even in our trouble, God will be there and be faithful. God will be there to bring us through and to bring us victorious. You know, what do you think your faith is for?
Come on.
What is your faith for? What is your weapon? It talks about putting on faith. Talking about, we find it in the Word that it talks about putting on the weapons, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Word of God. What are weapons for? Are the weapons to just hold on to in good times? Talking about some good times. You know, is that what they're for? No, they're for battle. They're for battle. Your faith is for battle. Your faith would never get exercised if it wasn't for battle. Believing God uses it. So your faith can get you through the bad times. And your faith can keep you in the long good times.
Amen.
And when the bad time comes, you understand the same faith that got you out of the last bad time is going to get you out of this bad time.
Yes.
And we apply the word of God. I will be victorious.
Yes.
God shall make me the head and not the tail.
Yes. I will come out of this blessed and prosperous.
Bless the Lord.
It will not keep me down. You know the story about the donkey that fell in the well, right? You heard that one. The donkey that fell in the well. Well, he fell in and the farmer didn't have the ability to get him out. So he said, well, I'm not just going to sit here and listen to my donkey just, you know, bray. That's what they do, right? Bray all day long until he dies. I'm going to bury him. I'm going to bury him while he's in there. So he started getting some dirt and throwing it in on top of the donkey to just cover him up, let him die quickly. Well, you know what that donkey did? When the dirt would hit his back, he shook it off. And then he stomped it down.
All right.
And then eventually he kept filling it up till the donkey came out. So what the devil meant to kill you and destroy you with will be the very thing that you stand upon and help get you out. God will not let the enemy attack you and it cause more pain and more hurt and destroy you. What the devil meant for evil, God says, I will turn it around and make it bless you. I will make it bless you. So what people have tried to do to destroy you, God says, let them try, because it's just a key to your blessing.
Amen.
God doesn't send it. God's not the reason for it. But he says, I'll tell you what, I'll stand with you and get you out of it.
There you go.
So let's look at this. Now, instead of complaining about your job, let's do this. Are you ready? Let's pray for wisdom in the midst of man's confusion. I'm going to get you some things to pray about. So instead of complaining, let's pray for the wisdom in the midst of man's confusion. You might say, no one knows what to do around here. We don't get proper instruction. We don't know what to do. And we're told to get the job done, but nobody shows us how or gives us enough training. I've heard that a lot about jobs. Well, you know what? I've had people tell me, Pastor, in all the bad times and stuff that we faced as a church, you've always known what to do. You've always known what to do. Do they teach you all that in Bible college? No. If I had a course in Bible college, I would title it, What to Do When Church Sucks. That should be a course you have to take every year. Every year you should have to take that as a pastor. Just saying. Are you not used to pastors talking this way? Oh, should I just sugarcoat everything and tell you it's always wonderful? Oh, life is great. Oh, God bless you. No, sometimes people cause me problems. Just like people cause you problems. And then, you know what? I get phone calls from people that don't even come to church. This is interesting. I get phone calls from people that say, can you come to the hospital and pray for so-and-so? My fifth cousin on my dead side once removed. They're in the hospital. I wish you would come and pray. Do you attend a church? Yes. Have you called your church to see if your pastor would go? Oh, no, they don't believe in healing. And I know your church does. So can you come? And I always say yes. I always say yes for the majority. As long as it's convenient, my schedule's not insane, I try to always make it to those things. And I had someone recently ask me, do they pay you? I'm like, no, that's a good idea. Just kidding. Come on, people. We can laugh a little more. And so I go to these places. But I want to say, why do you continue to go to a church that doesn't believe in what you need? But you call my butt, and you don't do nothing for us, but you want me to come and, you know, deliver food to your family and do all this kind of stuff, and then get mad if my schedule's a little booked and I have to wait a day.
Yeah.
Insane. Now, I know that ain't you, but, you know, it's not always a lot of fun. And I'll tell you something. There have been times that I've stepped up not knowing anything to do. And you know what you do? You step in faith. Knowing what the Lord told you to do, you do it. You do it, and you don't know the end result all the time. You don't know every time. When we started this church, it was the money I had in my bank account, less than $100 to start the church.
Amen.
That's all we had. And if we ran out of that, we failed. Point blank. That's what happened. And so I had to believe God when I didn't even know how it was going to come and how it was going to happen. And so sometimes I step up not knowing. I know what the Lord has called us to do. And there's time. I'll tell you this. I believe that we're supposed to soon. I think soon. We need some cameras in this place. We need to start going on television. I think we're supposed to do that very soon. Now, this is the problems that pop up. Are you ready? I don't want to be editing. I'm already editing the podcast. The last thing I want to do is add video to edit as well. I don't have time in my schedule to do this stuff. You don't know how to. I ain't asking you to do it. I appreciate your concern. But I need somebody to edit video. I don't have the slightest idea how to do that. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. And so, you know what? Most of you think, oh, great, we could be on television. And we could start on certain local channels. It would be easy to get on. It would be nice. And I think we're supposed to do it. One, I don't have the finances in the bank at this moment to buy high-def definition cameras. Or do I want close-ups with high-definition cameras? We don't have that ability at this moment. But we're going to start taking steps in faith, finding out what it costs to be on the television and what we need. And all the TV now is high-def, so you got to have the good cameras. You can't buy the cheap stuff. You got to have the right lighting. You got to have all this stuff. So it brings up more problems than I have answers to. And there's a lot of times in the church I feel a prompting from the Lord to go a certain route, and it brings up more problems than I want to deal with. And I don't have the answers to. So I could sit down and say, you know what? When the Lord leads me, and when I get all the answers, I'll take a step. Glory to God. I'll just sit here and wait. I'm going to wait. No, sometimes the answer comes in the doing. You put your hands to the plow and the Lord brings the blessing. You start doing what you know to do, and God brings the answers. So there's times I've stepped up not knowing anything. There's times I've had no messages. And that's irritating. Do you know how hard it is to stand up before you and not have a sermon? Studied, and I couldn't get jack. And I step up there, and then God gives you what to say in the time. I hate that. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I hate that. I love the end result. God has always worked it out, but I hate that. You want to talk about fear grip your heart. Come stand in front of all you people and have nothing to tell you. And then you thought, thinking, well, did I just miss the Lord? Did I mess up? What's wrong with me? What did I do? And so we internalize it. But even if we did mess up, how about this? Just trust the Lord. Amen. I have stepped up here and asked God, please don't punish those people because of my lack of preparation or because I didn't do something right, Lord. Lord, ignore my ignorance. Ignore my abilities because, God, I am leaning on you. And there's also times that I preach a message that I think is horrible. It's horrible. And honestly, after service, I want to hit that door and not look at any of you. Yeah, it happens. It happens. Sometimes, not all my sermons are great, believe it or not. Did that shock you? It shocked me. It shocked me. And so sometimes I preach a message I feel like is a dud. I feel like it's an absolute dud. And I want to run. And it takes everything in me to come smile and shake your hands. And y'all would say, oh, that's such a good message. And I'm thinking, are they having pity? Do they know that I know that I suck today? And they're trying to make me feel better. But, you know, and I've even had messages. And I've just had to trust the Lord. Because there's times that I have preached a horrible sermon in my own brain. And you come and you tell me, when you said that, that so blessed me. And you repeat, and I'm like, I don't remember saying that. And I have literally gone back and listened to the podcast to make sure, see if I said, one, I write it down because it was really good. And then I listened to the podcast, and I never said it. So I trust the Lord to speak to you things that I never say. But tell me so I can write them down and say them later. And I will take credit for them. So we need to pray for wisdom in man's confusion. And so there's times that we may not know how to do the job, or we may not know exactly what to do or had the proper training. Put your hand to the plow and trust the Lord to deliver. Trust the Lord. Now, another thing we need to pray for. Pray for God's power in the midst of man's weakness. There are those that will look at the walls, look at a problem like the walls around a fortified city and say, it can't be done. There's no way we can go in and take the land. There's no way we can finish this problem. Well, as a Christian, we'll look at it as the walls around Jericho. Amen. It was impossible. But we understand the walls will fall. Amen. God will give us strength. It may not come how we think it should. Because sometimes we might think, you know, when God said take the city and it's fortified, we might think that we're going to bust through the walls. And, you know, doing, a Terminator, I'll be back, or, you know, something. We bust through and we look all amazing. Well, that's not how God took the walls down Jericho. The people shouted and they fell. They obeyed the Lord and the walls fell. Let me tell you something. You might not have to shout. You may have to shout. You might just have to show up to work. I don't know. But whatever it is, being obedient to the Lord, as you are obedient, the walls will fall. And so that we look at problems differently. We don't look at in men's weakness and our inabilities. God's power will strengthen us. And then we can pray for this. Are you ready? Pray for God's hope in the midst of man's despair. There are times that you deal with problems and you deal with people and problems in the workplace, and they deal with these problems for so long that they get despair, they get hopeless. Well, we always deal with that. This is always a problem. Well, you don't have to get in that same despair. So we pray for God's hope in the midst of men's despair. We also pray for God's joy in the midst of man's sorrow. There are many songs, and you ain't got to play them today. You can play songs. We played some songs in church. There are many songs that have been written about jobs. You're not the first person to not like their job. And I'll go ahead and say, your job is not worse than people have faced behind you. Try being a slave. Mm-hmm. Try building Egypt. Hello? Try being children of Israel. Try that. Try those things. That's a worse job. That's a forced job. And you might feel like you're forced into work. But let me tell you something. Like the children of Israel, and like skin difference, color in our nation, God's will was done, and victory was brought.
Amen.
And freedom was God's will.
Amen.
And so if you feel like you're a slave in your workplace, God will bring freedom.
Yes, he will.
And you got a lot less to complain about.
That's right.
Than people behind us. Amen. So our joy does. We already said this. Our joy doesn't come from work. Can I say this? Go in with expectations of your job. Only what they told you. It's good to be appreciated, but you don't have to have it.
No.
If you're not appreciated in your workplace,
that's right.
I'm sorry. You ain't got to be. You're not paid to be appreciated. You're paid to do your job. Now, it's awesome if you have it. I'm not saying that, you know, if you're a boss, I can treat my employees like crap. No, be a godly boss. But I had someone tell me one time, I've worked for a year and I don't have any friends in my workplace. And my answer was, they don't pay you to have friends. They don't pay you at all to have friends. It's great if you have them, but if you ain't got them, get friends at church.
Amen.
I know that's a radical idea, but you know, this is your friends and your family.
Yes, it is.
Go out to eat with some people in here. How about this? Invite people out to eat.
All right.
Some of you should just start inviting people out to eat. Just do it. Show yourself friendly, and God says you shall have friends.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
So your workplace might not be the best place to get friends anyway, especially if you say, I'm the only one there that's saved. You know, so show yourself friendly, but you ain't got to go out with them. Let them come out with you. All right. But your work, come to church and get friends. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 46. We are running quick here. I'm winding this down. You've listened very well today. You're welcome. So these are some prayers. And let's pray for this. Pray for God's witty inventions in the midst of men's frustrations.
That's good.
That they might not know how to fix a problem, but God will give you the idea how to fix a problem. I don't care if it comes in your dreams. The Lord will bring the answer to you.
Yes, he will.
Psalms 46:1. Are you ready? God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. Now I'm going to read a couple more scriptures. Write these down. 2 Corinthians 12:9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also made a very way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Don't expect to be appreciated. You know what you can expect? Whatever benefits they told you can have, and whatever pay they told you can have, and whatever Wisconsin and the feds will take from you. Don't expect that either, because it's a lot. They take a lot out of your paychecks. Never mind. I grew up in Florida where we didn't have state income tax. And the first time I got a paycheck, I looked, I'm like, what is WIS and what are they taking? Who are these people? What are they using this for? All right, that's just me. You grew up knowing that they take your stuff. I didn't know that they would take it. So if you don't get, your job is not your source of happiness, and it's not your source of love, it's not your source of joy, and it's not your source of friendships. Now, if you get these things from the job, that's wonderful. It's a benefit. It's a plus. But only because sometimes when we have expectations of things and we don't get them, then we get frustrated. And can I say this? I've heard this so many times. Single people, when I get married, I will be happy. Uh-uh. No, you won't. If you ain't happy right now, look at all the married people. Be like, oh. No, marriage is not your source of happiness.
Mm-mm. No, it is not.
Mm-mm. Oh, if I could, now that I'm married, I'm not happy. If I could just have a kid.
Oh, dear God.
Amplifiers. They amplify whatever's already there.
That's right.
Be happy first. Yes. Let me tell you something. If you get a container that is 10% full, and you get another container that is 20% full, and if you put those containers together, do you know it's less empty than when they were by themselves?
That's right. Yes.
When you add two and they become one, if they were not full to begin with, it's emptier now that you combine them.
That's
There's more volume percent-wise that is empty than before. So if two unhappy people get married and become one, they make each other more unhappy.
Amen. That's good. That's the truth.
You better be happy in Jesus before you ever, because if you think anything else, if I just get a boat, no. See, stop looking at things as your happiness. Stop looking at things as your happiness, because eventually you're going to figure out none of these things that you're getting is bringing you enough happiness. No, get me wrong. There will be some joy when you buy them. First couple times you get on the water, you're going to love it. And then you find out the gasoline at the water. When you buy gas at the docks, it's like double the price at the pumps on land. And then you can't go out as much as you want to, or something happens and your life is busy, and then frustration sets in. You got to buy something else to make yourself happy. You got to get married to the fourth wife, or the fifth wife, or the sixth wife, or the seventh wife, or the eighth wife to be happy. And you think happiness is going to come from these things or these people, and it's not going to come. You might feel joy for a little while, but then reality has time to set in, and you figure out you ain't happy anymore. So then what do you got to go to? There's people who medicate themselves to try to numb the unhappiness. Where their happiness is not in this world and not of these things and not in their job. It is in the Lord. So get your joy and get your happiness from the Lord. And then you can be happy on the workplace. Even if the workplace ain't a happy place. You can walk in. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I do not believe that scripture like most people believe. Most people believe that when we read that, the first mind is like Superman, standing there, the cape waving in the background, I can do everything. Well, try to stop a speeding bullet and see how well that works for you. That's not what the Lord is talking about. It says, everything I do, I can do it in Christ. So when you go to work, you ain't got to leave your joy at the door. You bring the Lord with you, because your happiness ain't dependent upon all the stuff that's around you. How many watched the movie Dolly Parton Working 9 to 5? And you know the part where they imagine stuff going on and the woman is, I don't know which, what princess she is and all the animals are following her. What is that princess in Disney? Snow White. And singing, and then she goes to fix her boss a cup of coffee who asked her to fix, and all the animals are running and the rats come in the counter and push the rat poison out, and she gets the rat poison and fills in the jar and mix it together and gives her boss a cup of rat poison. That's why I don't ever ask Annette to fix my coffee. I'm joking. That's not true. I'm going to mess with her because I can. Because sometimes I got to give my wife a break. So in all of this, my point is that I'm not saying poison your boss. Don't you ever go poison your boss. But what I'm saying is she's walking into a dark place. It's all dark around her as she's walking in, but she has the joy. You can do everything you do in the Lord. You can bring happiness with you. It may be dark all the way around you, but bring in the light. You know what light does to darkness? It forces it out. Amen. There is no darkness in the world that you strike a match that darkness doesn't run, and light conquers the darkness. And so wherever you go, stop focusing on the darkness. Start staring out. You know, if I have this light behind me and it's dark and I keep staring at the darkness, all I'm going to notice is how dark it is. Why not look and focus on the light? Why not focus on the word? Why not focus on what good God has done for you and not the boat that you don't have yet? Be thankful for what the Lord has already done for you. And so we can keep these things in our mentality. Let's be part of the solution. Do you know what? I was told this as a kid. Show up early, leave late, and you will beat 99% of all other employees. You'll just beat them. If that's all you do, you'll beat most employees. If you work as hard, I ain't talking about you, I'm talking about somebody you can talk to your friends. If you work as hard as getting out of work as you do at work, you would be much ahead. You would be much more ahead. And so if you do that alone, you're doing good. So we stay, and if you want to talk to employees, you stay late and talk to them. But you don't do that. And work hard. How about that? I know that's a lost art form. Working hard. Yeah. You know, doing your job. I know that's a lost art form, but let's do it. Colossians 2 and 23, you don't have to turn there. And whosoever ye, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily. That word heartily means soul, life, mind, heart, with everything in you. Do your work with everything you got as unto the Lord and not unto man. Ephesians 4 and 28 says this, but rather let him labor. That word labor means work hard. Let him labor. Let him work hard at something. Most people go to work looking at ways to get out of it. They show up. They try to look for ways why they can get late. Even the internet will give you great ideas. Someone emailed me something about how to get out of work, and they said, if you ever have a flat tire, take a photo of it. And then whenever you're late, you say, oh, I had a flat tire. That is wrong, people. That is wrong. If you had a flat tire, that's one thing, but that's not what you show as an excuse. And be like, you show it to your boss and be like, why is there green grass under your tire? Better be season appropriate. Matthew 5 and 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth, but the salt, if it loses its flavor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing. If Christians aren't Christians, you're not good for nothing. If a Christian is nothing but a big fat liar, you're good for nothing. Now, I'm not talking about you messed up, you were under pressure and you lied. You shouldn't do that anyway. But if you did, ask for forgiveness and move on. I'm talking about if a Christian, all they do is they keep photos of flat tires. Good for nothing. All right, 14, verse 14, it says, for ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill can't be hid. Neither do men hide candles. Put it under a bushel. You know that from children's church. No, I'm going to let it shine. But on a candlestick and give light unto all that is in the house. One candle can save your life.
Yes, it can.
Keep you from falling downstairs. Can I get an amen? Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify in your Father which is in heaven. People need to see your good works.
That's right.
You're not saved by your good works, but good works are necessary for people to see.
That's right.
They got to see them. Because, you know, if you proclaim Jesus as Lord and you're just like them, they ain't much it's going to do for them. They'll even put it in your face when you try to help them. You know what? If you invite them to church, you're just like me. Why do I need to come to your church? You go to the same places I do. You do the same things I do. You lie just like I do. You steal from the till just like I do. So what if the salt loses its saltiness? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. So, witness on your own time, unless there is a divine opportunity. I want to say this again. I'm going to go over just the prayers that you need to be praying. I hope you wrote this down. But we want to pray for God's wisdom in the midst of man's confusion. We want to pray for the power of God in the midst of men's weaknesses. We want to pray for hope in the midst of despair. And we want to pray for joy in the midst of men's sorrow on our workplaces. So, this morning, God expects you to go to work and work unto him and not be basically working hard when the boss is around and not when he's not there. We work as working unto the Lord. God has a lot to say about employees. He has a lot to say about business owners, but he has a lot to say about employees too. Well, my boss is evil. Well, you know what? The Bible says we don't return evil for evil. We don't gyp them because they gypped us. We don't treat them like crud because they treat us like crud. If we need a new job, God will find it. God will bring it to us. God will make a way. Even if he has to make a job for you, he will make a job for you.
Yes.
And you have a covenant with the Lord, not with man. You have a covenant with the Lord. If men have overlooked you, God will promote you.
Yes, he will.
And he will not let your covenant fall to the ground.
Amen.
Your covenant with the Lord is solid and can never not come to pass. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word.